Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Okay, so guys, welcome back to Magic TV. I am here with one of my favorite magicians, Mr. Cameron Francis. Cameron, thank you so much for being the first magician on Talk Magic. I really appreciate it.
And thank you. I'm really flattered. Now there's a bit of a time difference here. So, right now it's like, 5 a.m, but hey, anything for you. I'm kidding. It's not 5 a.m. here. I would never wake up at 5 a.m. for anybody.
I appreciate that. I really do.
No, it's like, it's fine. It's like 10 a.m. here. It's good. We're all good.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. And you know what? I was just saying to you just before we actually started rolling the cameras, when I decided I wanted to do an interview segment on the channel, the first person, I made a list of everybody I wanted to interview, and person number one was you. We've known each other for years.
Yeah.
Genuinely, you're one of the people, I'm not just saying this, you're one of probably only about 2 or 3 people that when you release something, I buy it sight unseen. I don't need to see a trailer. I don't need to see a review. I don't need to see ad copy. All it has to have is the Cameron name, Cameron Francis name attached to it, and I'm sold. Job done.
Wow. That means there's a lot of stuff in your drawer then that's just sitting
hell
there.
Never gonna use. Hell of a lot.
No, I mean, I really appreciate that. That's very flattering. Thank you so much for that. It's humbling because, man, I mean, I remember we met, it must have been 10 or more years ago. Maybe it was before, I think you came to a lecture I did in England.
I traveled miles to get that lecture.
You did.
You were nowhere near me. And I did a 4-hour round trip just because you were lecturing.
And then the next time was at Blackpool, I think, was the next time.
You were on the Big Blind Media stand.
Yeah, that's when it was Big Blind Media, yeah.
Hmm. And just released, it must have been the Omega Trilogy, maybe, or...
Omega, and then we had like a Killer Gaft or something, and might have been around that time, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
good times.
You know what? One of the things that I think of when I think of the stuff that you release is it's really commercial. Like, I've talked about this. I do a rant thing on the channel, and I've talked about how you see a lot of products these days, and they come out, and it's just unworkable. And you kind of think, has the guy ever even worked this?
The
one thing that I'd say about your products, whether people love them or hate them, you can tell that every single routine has been trialed one way or another and thought out to the end.
Yeah. I appreciate that because, I have a – and this is actually, I think, it to my detriment at times because I feel like nowadays – what people want is stuff that looks good on YouTube or Instagram is like flashy. And I'm like, my brain just doesn't work that way. I immediately think, can I do this, at a table for people? Can I do it surrounded? Is it practical? Is it difficult? Is it, is it a gimmick that's going to break in after 2 tries? I just can't do that. Like, so I have actually tossed out a lot of ideas that are just, to me, unworkable that probably someone else would put out because it does look, maybe it looks pretty, but I don't know. I just, for me, it's got to be practical in order to, for me to put any, invest any time in it because I personally don't have time for tricks that I can't do in almost any environment. It just doesn't really.
I think that's why I love your stuff so much because know it's going to be a worker.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people on this channel and they ask about creativity and, how to create a magic trick. And I think that's the ultimate goal for a magician, whether they're an amateur or professional or semi-professional, they want to create their own magic. You know what I mean? That's the type of person that gets attracted to magic, that creative type of person. Yeah. As somebody who's created more magic than anybody else I know, other than maybe Jay Tankey.
And Stephen Tucker, maybe.
Stephen Tucker. How do you approach, what's your approach when it comes to creativity? Do you have I'm going to create a project right now, or you just hit by inspiration? How does that whole thing work out for you?
So it depends. It used to be different. It used to be back when, honestly, there was a time where magic income was pretty important to me. I was making some decent money, and I kind of needed it because other things weren't really, I wasn't making as much money doing other things. So I would sometimes sit there and be like, right, I need to come up with something. But the more organic approach is usually, I would see something, another trick maybe somebody does, and something about it, maybe an element of it, kind of like turns me on a little bit. I go, oh, that's cool. And then I just sort of think about it and let it stew, and then maybe think of something that's tangential, and then that takes me down a road. I rarely take tricks that I see, change like one or two moves and then release them as my own. That's not really my style. I like to make it really my own thing completely. So even if I'm inspired by somebody else, it doesn't mean the final trick I come up with is going to look anything like that original trick. It could be totally, could even be a different plot. I don't even know. It depends on where my brain goes. But for me, it's just going down a rabbit hole of, hey, that's a cool move. What could I, you know, maybe I could apply that to this idea. Or, oh, you know, sometimes it is a plot. Like, you know, today I'm just interested in trying to figure out a way to do the Crist Aces, but doing it stand up. Yeah. So I'll just like mull that over until I come up with something that works. So, right. Yeah.
So let's have a look at one of my favorite tricks that you've released. And it's a very old one. The mint box, the tic tac box,
and
it's got to be one of your first tricks, right? It was.
Yes.
I still do it today. Like, it's not carry around at every gig. Not that gig anymore, but it's one that I do at every single gig that I do.
Right.
How did that come about? Like, because there must be a story behind that. Because so amazing.
Yeah. Well, that was a while ago, but it was. I remember what it was. Okay, this is a great example. There was a trick on a Jay Sankey project called Three Ring Circus, which was his linking key rings that he put out. And which actually I think is kind of underrated. It was sort of a great idea. You know, it was kind of a really cool little thing. But on that DVD, he had other tricks. He had like bonus material. And one of the tricks was a bill to little like pill medicine bottle, like a little like, you know, clear medicine bottle. And I remember seeing going, oh, that's really cool. And again, this is an example of looking at an idea, but then taking it somewhere else. And I thought I would love to do that, but under different conditions, more test conditions than the way he was doing it. Because his method was different than the one I finally came up with. So I just sort of mulled over, well, besides medicine bottles, what else are clear? Oh, a Tic Tac box is clear. So if I take off the label, it's even more clear. It's a completely clear container. And then what's a way that I can show this in there, take off the lid, and you see it the whole time. It never leaves your sight, and then reach in and pull it out or tip it out or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's how that came about, was seeing that trick that he did and then just sort of, you know, thinking of ways of doing it, but that looked different. That just had a different look and a more sort of test conditions look. So that's an example of a trick that did wind up looking kind of like the trick that he did, but again, totally different methodology. In fact, I even showed it to Jay Sankey and he loved it. So, you know, that was kind of cool.
Kind of looking for inspiration a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And when you've created a trick, what do you end it right there? Or do you search for a better method? The reason I ask this is because I've seen Rehab. I love Rehab. I think it's one of the cleanest torn and restored. And then recently on the review show, I reviewed RIP, which is another torn and restored car.
Right.
You created years later.
Right.
Completely different method.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, was one an extension of the other? Or did it come to the point of how did we get from, do you see what I mean? I'd love to know the process behind that.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting too, because Rehab and RIP were actually both created around the same time, but were different solutions to the same problem. So RIP is, I mean, that was years ago. In fact, originally Richard Sanders was going to put out RIP, but there was just a lot of extenuating circumstances that couldn't happen. So literally like 10 years later, Penguin wound up putting it out. But it was basically... sometimes too, and I'm sure you do this too, like you'll obsess over a plot and then you'll just come up with different solutions to that plot that sometimes maybe have nothing to do with each other. And that was the case with RIP and Rehab. Rehab was, I had seen Daniel Garcia's Torn and was like, that's awesome. And then tried to practice it. And I'm like, I cannot do this to save my life. Like, I can't do it. His looked so awesome. So I'm like, well, what's a way I could do a version of that, you know, would work for me. And so that's why I came up with Rehab. And then RIP was a case of just seeing the Mike Powers trick where you have, is it four holes in the corners of cards that come together in the deck? Or is maybe it's four drawings?
Yeah.
Spots or something. Yeah. And I saw that. I was like, that'd be cool for a Torn and Restored card. So it went from me coming up with a solution where a card restores in the middle of a deck, very similar to that, to then I brought it down to a small packet of cards where the card restores in the middle of the packet of cards. And then it went from that to, oh no, wait, I could just narrow this down to two jokers and have it restore between two jokers. Or originally double blank cards, because at the time I couldn't gaff my jokers properly. So I just used blank cards, but then I realized jokers were a better solution.
So
it was really just attacking the same plot, but just in different ways. And I just so happened to come up with those solutions around the same time. But you know, to your point, I mean, my whole thing now is I've actually slowed down a lot creatively in terms of creating new stuff.
Yep.
I don't come up with as much new stuff anymore. I'm more interested in going back to stuff that I've created before, like years ago, and then refining it and making it better. Like that's more what I'm into now. Like that kind of, turns me on more at the moment.
Awesome.
So yeah.
That's awesome. So we're going to be seeing some 2.0 versions of some of your classics.
Yeah. I mean, and I've done that a little bit, like, you know, on certain projects, I put out a trick and I'll say, you know, this was on another project before, but here's a better handling or a better presentation. That happened recently with a trick called Numbered, which I had actually released a few years ago. And then I realized, wait a minute, there's one element here. And it was just a presentational thing that I'm like, I could make that so much better if I just tweaked one thing. And so I re-released it because, first of all, like nobody bought it when I first put it out. So, but then I re-released it and honestly, it sold a lot better now that I don't know if it's because of that tweak or the video was better. I'm not sure, but I know that it sold a lot better than when I put out the second time. So.
Do you ever forget some of the stuff that you've created? I've forgotten stuff that you've created. So yeah. I put a video up every night on this channel at 6 o'clock. So I'm constantly looking for new material. And I was going through some of my stuff and I found that trick. And I used to do this all the time. And at some point it went out my repertoire and I was like, why did I stop doing this? It's the one that you brought out and the little photographs of cards, little photographs with like four cards on there and you pull the card out of the photograph.
Yeah. Yeah. Snapped.
And like,
yeah.
And I've just snapped. Yeah. And I just put it, I just relearned it. And so the channel, I'm like, oh my God, this is such a great trick. Yeah. How did I forget this?
Right.
Like, do you forget magic? And then, you remember everything.
No, I totally forget magic. I forgot about that trick till you mentioned it. No, I mean, people will email me sometimes. I don't want to say I get tons of emails all the time, but I will get emails occasionally. People say, hey, this trick on blah, blah, blah. Can you tell me, you know, answer a question about it? And I'll be like, I don't even remember that. I don't even have the DVD right now. I don't know, you know, so I'll have to like go through old notes and stuff to try to figure out like, when was that? Like, what trick was that? But that's kind of fun though, isn't it? Because you literally rediscover something and because you're so far removed from it, you're more objective about it, which is great. So you could be like, wow, that was sort of good, but maybe I can make that better. You know, that's another case where you can maybe make something better if you have forgotten about something and then rediscover it. So it does happen all the time. There's a lot of tricks or I'll watch an old DVD of mine to reference something else. And then I'll like find another trick on there and literally have no memory of creating it whatsoever. But you know, it's like, that's not bad. It's pretty good. Yeah. So, you know, it definitely happens.
You know what? You know, a lot of people think of you as a card guy because you really have so much card material.
Yeah.
I know that you've released coin stuff as well. I remember the Attack of the Copper Silver Coin. And, you know, which was a great idea.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Do you prefer card stuff or coin stuff? Do you, like, what do you think of coin magic?
Well, here's the thing. It's funny. When I do, now, I don't really gig that much. I do occasionally. I don't gig a lot, though. But when I do, it's always a really good balance between card and non-card stuff. I always bring coins, sponge balls. I don't care what anybody says. SpongeBalls get the best reaction of anything ever out there, and I will always do them because they may look funny and they're not organic, but man, they get great reactions. So
they do.
I'm definitely a SpongeBall guy. You know, I do stuff with bills, coins. Recently, I discovered a great routine by, R. Paul Wilson. And what he does is he takes a ball and vase. I don't know if you've seen this. And it's a whole routine with a ball and vase, but it's killer because it's like, it's totally fooling. He does all these things with a simple kid's trick and makes it just amazing. So I immediately went out and because I couldn't find one, I rebought a ball and vase and immediately worked on it. The thing is that I don't create as much coin stuff. So when I gig or when I do some magic for other people, I use a lot of other people's material. I do, you know, classic coins across.
Yep.
Charming Chinese Challenge, I think, is one of the best tricks ever invented, ever, bar none. It's just an amazing trick with that ribbon and the coins, and it's just so perfect. Like, you know, I've actually tried to come up with my own stuff, but I'm like, it's too good. I just do it as it is, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, I do a lot of non-coin stuff too. I just haven't created quite as much, you know, but I do love it. Yeah, it's great stuff.
Well, here's a question for you. There's a lot of people that want to become famous as a magic creator. And I think that's the big goal. We see a lot of people that are coming into magic brand new, learning as much as they can, and then starting releasing their own downloads. And you see something as somebody that's released so much magic, what advice can you give somebody in terms of releasing magic to the community to make sure it's, because you don't want to kill your, you know, you don't want to release somebody else's trick and, you know, kill your career like I did. You want to try and make sure that, you know, so and also you've worked with so many different magic producers.
Sure.
Like almost everyone, like at least a trick or two through, I think everybody but Illusionist. I don't think you've done Illusionist, but other than
everyone
but them. So what advice would you give somebody who wants to be a creator in magic and make a name for themselves as someone who produces material?
My advice, let's see here, for creating magic. Well, for me, like it started, like I said, kind of accidentally. I didn't intend to be a magic creator. It just kind of happened. And because of Dave Forrest and Owen Packard, to be honest, that's how it really happened. But I would say, based on mistakes I've made and what I've learned over time, is slow down. Slow down. Like, do your due diligence, do your research. There's no rush. You know, there will always be a magic market for everyone. So slow down. You know, you don't have to rush things out there. You can, you know, I think that if you do, it only hurts you in the long run. I would say, wait, I had another thing I was going to say, and now I can't remember what it was. But yeah, So don't be in a rush. And I think read as much as you can, watch videos, do a lot of research, make friends with other magicians who you can show stuff to and say, hey, have you seen this before? That's really important because, you know, you can read a lot of books, you can see a lot of videos. There's always going to be something you don't know, though, that somebody else does. So knowledgeable, having a brain trust of knowledgeable magicians that you can like send stuff to and ask if they've seen it or anything, that's a very important aspect to all this. So, yeah.
And you've self-published, but you've also published through magic dealers and magic producers. Which would you say is the best way to go?
The best way. I don't know because I even though I've released stuff on my own, I'm not like a brilliant marketer, but I'm no Craig Petty. I'll put it that way. I'm not a brilliant marketer. I'm okay. I've got a decent core group mailing list that I mail out to, and you know, God bless them. They buy stuff that I put out. I've made good money releasing my own stuff. I've also made really good money releasing through Penguin. Honestly, they have that Penguin Partners program, which is great. I mean, you put up a download on there and, you know, you keep a nice percentage of the money and they have a huge mailing list. So, you know, you get a lot of traffic on that website. In fact, I've actually moved to, because I didn't have as much time the past couple of years to really promote my own stuff on my website. Mm-hmm. Most of my magic products now, I just load it up onto Penguin. And honestly, I'm probably doing better on there than I did on my own site. So, that's what I'm doing now. Now I do
made it very easy for people, haven't they? The whole way that they're operating have made it very easy.
It's very easy. I mean, because and I think it's amazing because sometimes I'll put up a download on there and they won't promote it or anything, but it's still, I'll sell a bunch because, you know, it's just, it's Penguin, man. People go on there, they look for new stuff. You know, they are a monolith. They are a big magic company. And, you know, so it's great.
And they got some very clever guys working there. Dee Christopher, Sean Dunn, you know, Dan Harlan, you know, they've got some really clever guys. Really
Brent Braun, all these, you know, wonderful people. They're great to work with. I've worked with them, you know, love working with them. And of course, Owen at Packard over at Big Blind Media, he and I have worked together since I started doing this, like back in 2008, I think, or 2007, I think was the first time we worked together.
Wow.
So like 13 years, it's been a while. And I still do stuff with Owen. I mean, we still get together and film and it's great.
Well, he's just a great guy. Owen is great, you know.
Great guy. And he's all about, you know, making stuff look great. I mean, his videos look almost better than anybody else's. I mean, the production quality is amazing.
And we've got him to thank for so many John Bannon releases recently.
Oh, yeah. Which, you know, it's fantastic. It's amazing how Big Blind Media has grown since I started there. It was like me, Ian Moran, Dave Forrest, like that was it at first. And now it's like, I mean, everybody has done stuff now with BBM, you know, so it's pretty great.
And out of all of the I'm going to put you on the spot now. Out of every single product that you've ever released, which is your favorite?
Well, I would say in terms of single trick releases, and we talked about this trick before, I think Nothing But the Truth might be one of my favorite releases.
It's my son Ryland's favorite trick. He's done it on the YouTube channel. He's done it on, we reviewed it on the show.
Yeah.
Loves it. He loves it.
I think it's a fun trick. It's really good. And whenever I perform it, I love it because I call it, you know, a great garden path trick because, you know, you're leading the spectators down the garden path with this sort of cute, you know, lie and true thing. And I feel like after a while they might think they're catching on and then the ending just blows them away. So, that may be one of my favorite individual releases. As far as multi-trick releases, the last two I put out, what is it called? Super Mega Card Miracles. And that was through Big Blind Media. And Ultimate Self-Working Card Tricks, Cameron Francis Edition, long title. It's quite a mouthful there. Also through Big Blind Media. Those came out last year. And I think those might be my two favorite multi-trick releases because I feel like the material on there is all solid. I feel like I've just gotten better at at the whole showing a trick and explaining it on camera thing. I mean, you do it enough, you're just going to get better at it. And I think I have. And I think those two are my best releases so far until the next one. And I'll probably like that one more.
Have you got anything in the pipeline? Have you got anything coming up or any?
Yes. Let's see. Yes. Although it's funny because I mean, I have stuff in theory coming up, but I haven't actually filmed it yet. But actually, I've got a trick here. If you want to see it, I can even show it to you.
Hey, I would love to see it.
Yeah, this is going to be one thing. Now, this is going to, again, we were talking before about influences and things like that. When you watch this trick, it's going to look similar to maybe something else you've seen, but there are some key differences. So I'm gonna go down here. All right, okay. So we look at this. Now this, we can call this the imagination deck. We can call whatever you want it. Want to call it. We're going to use our imaginations here. So if you want to use your imagination, give it a funny name, you can. It doesn't matter because it's a deck of cards that looks normal for all intents and purposes. However, we can spread through it, it looks normal from the back. However, as you can see from the face, these cards are not normal. They are totally blank, blankety blank cards here. Okay. Yeah. So now what we're going to do is first we're going to test your imagination, Craig. Let's imagine we've got all four suits like hanging in the air. I want you to reach up, Craig. I want you to pluck down a suit. Which one do you want to pluck out of the air?
I'm plucking out the hearts.
The hearts, brilliant. Okay, so we'll use the hearts. Now you'll notice, and I'm saying this for the magicians out there, I didn't say, what's your favorite color and let's eliminate it or anything like that. I just said, pick one suit. picked hearts and that's what we're going with, okay? Yeah. I just, you know, for the magicians out there, just want to point that out. Okay. So you said hearts. Great. Yeah. Now, we need to assign a value to that heart suited card. So what's the value going to be?
Let's go with a 7.
A 7. That is brilliant. In fact, you know what? I'm going to use my imagination right now, and I'm going to show you that, let's see here. Yeah, right here. There's the 7 of hearts. Now, I can see it because I'm using my imagination, but it might be a little difficult for you all to see out there because it looks just kind of like a blank card. However, here's what we're going to do. We're going to use your imagination yet again, Craig. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine that on that blank canvas you just saw, that the 7 just slowly like burns into view. You can see the 7, right?
Yeah.
And then I want you to imagine that that card that you just saw turns over in the deck. So it's upside down. It's reversed among all these cards. Now, are you imagining that with your mind?
I am indeed.
That's fantastic. Let's see how good your imagination is. Because watch, we're just going to spread through all of these cards. Oh, wow. Look at that. There is a reversed card in the deck. One card is reversed. Things are looking good. But let's see what the card is. And oh my gosh,
indeed
is the 7 of hearts.
That's amazing. That is exceptional.
Yeah. And I'm going to say a couple things here. No RS. Some people will know what that means.
Really?
No, nothing's thin in this deck. Nothing. Yeah. This is, so it's basically a variation of, you know, a plot. I mean, people have done, David Riegel's got like 2 versions of this kind of plot.
Yep.
But different, the methodology here is very different. And again, it was created because while I don't mind RNS at all, I've used it. It's not my favorite thing in the world to use. Yep. So I wanted to come up with a way of doing this kind of thing as fairly as possible, but that didn't use the typical methods. And that's what I came up.
That is brilliant. That is exceptional. And is that coming out at some point soon?
At some point, I'm hoping to, I think Big Blind Media, it's going to come out through Big Blind Media. And so we'll see. I mean, it might wind up being that, you know, I don't know how we're going to film it and how it's going to work out. But, and if Owen watches this, he might be like, we're putting that out. But we did talk about it before, Owen. So remember.
Oh,
so anyway, yeah, hopefully at some point through Big Blind Media, this will be released. Yeah.
That is so good. That is so good.
Cool. Love it. Cool. Yeah, it's pretty clean. That's what I like about it. It's clean.
And here's a question. Now, you have a lot of ebooks. Do you find that less people buy the ebooks than buy the downloads and the multi-trick DVDs and the single-trick DVDs? I found that less people buy ebooks. I don't know if that's that, and if that's the case, they're missing out on so much great material because your books are chocker.
Yes. I think that yes, they do. However, I still sell a decent amount. I think you're right though. Overall, when you look at the grand scheme of magic, you're right. Most people are buying videos. Most people are buying single trick stuff, you know, with videos, they're not really reading, but there is definitely a core group of people that still do like to read. In fact, if I do an ebook sale on my website, which I've done in the past, they fly. I mean, I sell a ton. Now I say I sell a ton again, relatively speaking, it might not be that much, but I still know that there are people out there that like to read. And I see people always ask me like, what's better, books or videos? And my whole thing is, it just depends. I think there used to be this hard argument about what's better and what's not. I think that we've reached a point where it's kind of hard to make that argument anymore. I don't know that one's better, but I will say that books are you're going to get a lot more, it's more efficient in a way. You're going to get a lot more material in a book usually. And it does leave a little more to your imagination. So you're not so influenced by the person on the video. Even if you don't think you are, you probably are influenced by the person whose video you're watching.
You are.
So I don't want to say one's better though, because there are times where there have been moves that I've read. I'm like, I just do not understand this. And so then I'll watch a video and it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. And it helps. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Sure.
Free to say no. Could you show us a magic trick?
Yes.
That you have put in an ebook that's not on a video project to encourage people to go and buy one of your ebooks?
Ah, that's a good question. Let me think real quick. Oh shoot, that's not an ebook. That's actually a physical. Oh, hold on one second here. I'm gonna think
of something.
Problem
when you've got so much material.
I know, and I'm thinking about it, but it's funny that you say that too, because I just did like three videos for, you know, Real Magic Magazine, Cosmos, Real Magic Magazine.
Cosmos is such a nice guy.
He is. I just did three videos for him, and I think two of the tricks were stuff from ebooks that no one's ever seen before on video. Now, my presentation might be a little shaky. I haven't done this one in like a long time, but I'm gonna attempt to do this. This one's called, I think it's called The Truth is in the Middle or something like that. So okay. What I'm gonna do, Craig, is I'm gonna spread through. Now, since you're there and I'm here, I'm just gonna kind of do this. And then, you know what? I can even count down. It doesn't matter. You can tell me when to stop whenever you want.
Stop.
Right there?
Yep.
Okay, this will be the card. Now, this is going to be the truth card. Okay, we're gonna leave the truth card in the middle of the deck, just like that, reversed, all right? So we can keep an eye on it later, okay? That's the truth card. Now, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start dealing again, and once again, you're gonna tell me when to stop whenever you want.
Stop.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna turn around, okay? And, wait, I gotta show you the card first. That's the card you stopped on, okay?
Okay, got it.
You got it? Okay. So that's the card you stopped on. Now what we're going to do is we're going to place that card just back in the middle of the deck. Okay. Fair? Yeah.
That's very fair.
Couldn't be more fair. All right. Now, so to summarize, in the beginning, I had you count down to a card. You counted down to a card. We placed that card in the middle of the deck reversed.
Yes.
And I said that was going to be the truth card. Then you selected a card, which you saw. We put that back in the deck. And so now what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you, is your card now, because right here in the middle, see, we still have this truth card here. So is your card above the truth card? Tell me if you see your card above.
No,
the truth
I don't.
Card. You don't see it?
Nope.
No. There we go. Okay. How about below the truth card? Is the card below the truth card?
No, it's not.
It's not. That's so weird. But
that is weird.
It just goes to show you that the truth is always in the middle.
I like that. I love that.
Yeah. 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 That was the trick. Wait. Yeah. So that one's not on any, I don't think that's on any project. That was from an ebook I did called, I think it was Moments Notice 7, I think, or maybe
yeah,
6 or 7.
The Moments Notice series is legendary, you know, amongst
yeah.
people. By ebooks. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I literally haven't done this trick in like 8 years, but I can't even believe I did it. But yeah, that's it. So that's something that
again, I would not be able to remember a trick.
Yeah, I know. I don't know even how I remembered it. But yeah, I always liked that trick. It's cool. I always like that sort of mystery in the middle of the deck thing. And then the card winds up being that card, you know.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Now, changing tact a little bit. You obviously, as well as being a magician, you're a professional actor. You do a lot of voiceover work. What advice can you give people to, from a performance point of view? Because I think a lot of magicians, they get into magic and they spend so much time learning the moves and they forget about everything else. And the performance suffers somewhat. And as an actor, obviously, you've probably studied stagecraft and vocal training and so on and so forth. Is there any advice that you can give somebody who's getting into magic in order, you know, from that side of things?
Yeah. So I think it's just like anything. It's rehearsal. So you got to rehearse it a lot to not only get the moves, but what you're going to say. You know, there are some things that when you perform, you can wing it. There are certain things, but you need to have at least a very basic skeletal, I think, idea of what the trick is about, what you're going to say when you do it. And I mean, as much scripting as possible is probably the best route to go. But like I said, at least have a really strong idea. Rehearse it a lot. Do it not just in the mirror, but just do it wherever you are in your house, just to get the feeling of doing it, not even looking for the moves. And don't be, you know, I mean, sure, you should be concerned about moves, but what I mean is just, you know, to be comfortable just doing the thing and saying what you're going to say at the same time. That's also just as important as whether or not you're flashing. And then also do it rehearse it in front of real people, like a dress rehearsal, you know, like do it for, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your, you know, boyfriend, whatever, your dog. I mean, just do it for somebody so yeah. that when you actually go out and do it in the real world, whether it's a paying gig or for some people you want to impress, you will have had some performance time and, you know, you'll feel more relaxed. Because the problem with magic is, especially, I mean, when I first started doing it, I was so nervous all the time. My hands always shook. And, you know, you just got to keep doing it to get rid of those nerves because they will go away after a while.
I was going to ask you about that from a nerves yeah. point of view. A lot of people, yeah. they suffer with the shaky hands. Would you just say that's just experience and that's just doing it?
I think so. I think it is an experience thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And some people just might be nervous people and might not never get over it. But I think that it is mostly because, you know, it's early days of performing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I always tell people just, you know, I am an actor, but that doesn't mean that I was at all great when I started. I mean, I think it's similar skill sets, but it's also very different because as an actor, I usually have a script and, you know, I've memorized it and there's like a fourth wall, you know, usually unless you're doing improv or something. So I was really uncomfortable at first because I wasn't used to performing with people who, you know, because I as a magician, I always look at the person you're performing for as like your scene partner would be in an acting thing. But this scene partner's had no rehearsal and you're having to, you know, communicate with them, you know, for the first time ever, you know. Yeah. So it's just a different skill set that takes some getting used to. So.
And here's a question. What's on your bucket list now? I mean, what are you wanting to achieve? Because, you know, you've had the career in magic that people yeah. dream of. You know, if you never release another trick again, you've cemented your legacy. People know about Cameron Francis for a very, very long time. So what's left on the bucket list? Is there something in magic that you've wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
I think the bucket list now is just, it's really just, but it's just getting better. It's just basically like, I want all of the stuff I put out now to be, you know, just even to just be better than what I put out before. I mean, I don't think there's any one thing that I'm like, you know, dying to do, or, I mean, yeah, there might be a few plots I really want to tackle, but there's nothing that I can, it's more about refining than it is about, I just got to put out as much magic as possible before I croak, you know? I'm more about making it better is what I'm about now. So I think that's it. I just want to take, even when I create new stuff, you know, I just want to make it as good as possible and just keep working on it until it's, you know, bulletproof and is really smooth. So, yeah.
Right. That's absolutely awesome. And yeah. I've got one other question, which is, who would you say are your top three favorite performers in magic? Who've influenced you the most?
Well, who have influenced me the most? Well, I mean, when I was young, hands down, I mean, like a lot of people my age, Craig, Betty.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Yes, you did. You influenced me quite a bit when I was young. David Copperfield. David Copperfield was like, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make the Statue of Liberty disappear and put, you know, cigarettes through quarters, which I could do. It's funny. I love that trick so much when I saw it. I've never owned a cigarette through quarter. Don't know why. I just never bothered. I just never gotten around to getting one. But more recently, you know, I would say performance-wise, Leonard Green is just amazing. Like, I mean, I love his stuff too. I can't really do a lot of his stuff, but I love watching him perform. I can watch him perform at any time.
That whole accidental style, it's almost like he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, wrapping tin foil around his head and doing all this stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, burning out his eyes with a laser. I mean, he's so entertaining. It's so, so good. Of course, Richard Sanders is a great performer. I love watching Richard Sanders perform. You know, on my favorite parts of his videos are when he's doing his stuff because he's so entertaining and so quick.
He really is. I think his fiber optics is done by, I don't know if it's like this in America, but in the UK, every working pro does fiber optics. Like every-
I do a few, I don't do the whole thing, but I do a few phases from it. I've been doing it for years. Yeah. I also, oh, by the way, I also love rope magic too, even though I don't create any. I do ring on rope. I do fiber optics, do all that stuff. And, you know, and my dear departed friend, Aldo Colombini, I think was also an absolutely brilliant performer.
Because you put stuff out through Aldo, didn't you?
Yeah, we became friends because he lived pretty close to me in Florida. He had moved from, you know, LA, I guess, and had lived in Ocala, which is like the middle of nowhere. But he and Rachel lived happily there and would make their DVDs. And I would go to his house and he would cook spaghetti and we'd make magic videos. And I was just in awe of his, not just his creativity, but his, he was such a good performer. He was so, I think no one really, people talk about his tricks a lot and they love him and everything, but I hear many people talk about what a great performer he really was. He really had he was brilliant. He was a brilliant sort of storyteller. He could take an old creaky joke and still make it funny. He just was brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And he was so smooth. I mean, just silky smooth with his moves, you know, very.
I only met him once, which was at a lecture, but yeah. Struck me is how nice and helpful he was. Like, you see some lecturers, I'm not going to name names, but you see some, and they come to do the lecture and it's almost like they're going through the motions. Soon as possible. Don't ask me any questions. I'm leaving. I'm gone. This for me is a gig. Well, he was there and he must have stayed at this lecture for like 2 hours afterwards because people were still there asking him questions. And I think that speaks volumes about the guy. It really does.
And he was kind and sweet. I mean, he gave me one of his, he had this magic table, like a stand-up magic table that he had used at a lecture. And I was at the lecture, this particular lecture, and he was going to sell it. And he said, no, you know what, Cameron, you take it. You just take it home. I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, he just gave me a table. I mean, like that's, you know, he could have made some money off of that thing and he just gave it to me. It was very kind.
I did a trick on the channel recently, about 2 weeks ago. I put a trick on the channel. I performed it. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's the best trick ever. Where can I learn that? And I'm like, this is Paramount by Aldo Colombini.
Oh, that's a great trick. It's absolutely brilliant trick. Yeah.
One of the most commercial card routines that you can ever do. That magic photo art's just so good.
I'll tell you a funny thing about Aldo is that whenever I would show him or explain something to him about a trick, and if it was anything that was, I mean, his whole thing, he would get so annoyed at tricks that had overproving and, you know, if you had to take any extra steps, he's like, why are you doing, he would just get like, why are you doing this? Why would you, I mean, he wouldn't yell at me. He would just yell in general, like, you know, why do that? It doesn't make any sense if you could just do this instead. And he was always right. I mean, you know, there was, he knew how to cut the fat out of a trick to make it, you know, commercial, doable and entertaining, you know, that was the bottom line. So,
I wish I could know him a little bit better. It must be that you live in. And that's great. Well, you know what, Cameron, we're going to wrap this whole thing up and I'm going to ask one other question. I put you on the spot earlier, by making you do a trick from 8 years ago that you've never done. Should we finish this whole off with one last trick? Could you do one last thing for us?
Yes. You know what I'll do? Yeah, I'll do. This is a trick that is on Penguin Magic right now. It's also on my website. I think it's the only trick I'm selling currently on my website because, like I said, I moved everything over to Penguin pretty much. But this, I think, is pretty cool. And it's funny. Sometimes as magicians, we were talking about how we are influenced by other magicians. Sometimes as magicians, we cannibalize our own material and we influence ourselves. So we'll keep attacking a plot over and over again and finding different solutions. And this is yet another variation of that. So as I was saying, yes, this was a trick that I've been working on for a little while. And this is one that I sort of restructured I tweaked one thing and I think it's 10 times better because of it. So let me bring the camera down again so you can see the cards. There are the cards. We're once again doing a card trick. Okay. All right. So Craig, what we're going to do here is I'm going to show you this. This is a very special deck of cards. Now, as you can see, they all look pretty, pretty normal, right?
Yeah.
52 cards. What do we say? 52 possibilities. I remember that from back in the day.
Oh,
all right. So, what makes this deck special is that I made a prediction in this deck. Anybody who knows my material knows that I love making predictions in decks, and I did in this one as well.
Okay.
So Craig, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to do two things, okay? Straight up, I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is name any number between 1 and 52. Just go ahead and name one.
23.
23, okay. Now, the second thing I'm going to ask you is I'm going to ask you, do you want to raise that number by one or lower it by one? It's up to you. Raise or lower by one, whatever you want to do.
I'm going to lower it by one.
Lower it by one. So now we've got, what is that, 22?
22, yeah.
Wow. Now, let's recap for just a second here. When we started, I said I'm going to have you do two things, ask you to pick a number, and then I asked you to lower it or raise it by one. Now, there's no way I could have known where we would end up in that scenario. I mean, that really is like, the choices were all yours, yeah, right?
That's
okay.
That's
okay. So let's do this. Let's start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 is our number, right?
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, by the way, I was counting the cards face up so you could see that the cards were actually being counted. No tricky false counts or anything. And I also want to show you that, like I said, I made a prediction in the deck, but I want to show you that on the back of these cards, the back of these cards are just, there's nothing on the back of them, right? I mean, I'm showing you all the, backs here, backs. And you could have chosen, I mean, we could have landed on any one of these cards, but
yeah.
You said the number 22 and we landed on the two of clubs.
Yeah.
Now, I want to show you something. I knew that you were going to name the number 22 and we'd end up on the two of clubs. And I can prove it.
Please do.
22. Look at that. And there we
that
go.
That is amazing.
And the nice thing is, I'm now reset and I can do the trick again.
Shut up.
Yep. There you go. It's as simple as that. Yeah. So that is called numbered. You can find that on Penguin Magic or my own CameronFrancisMagic.com.
You mentioned that about tweak. So this is a routine that you created and released earlier in your career.
Yeah.
And then you went back to it, and this proves exactly what you've been talking to us about. You went back to it. You improved it. I'm completely fooled. Like I've never seen numbered before. That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I love this trick. I think it's. Like I said, it was a very small adjustment I made, but I think it made all the difference. So it's pretty cool.
And having a trick that resets proves my point that I made at the very, very beginning, which is you think about things from a very commercial point of view.
Yeah, this trick is totally, you can do this. I mean, I had a table here. I didn't really use it. You could, but it's totally in the hands. I mean, there's no reason why you even need a table for this. You can just totally do this in the hands and instant reset, at the end. So
that's amazing.
It's a worker. It's a worker.
I'm going to go and buy this trick to work out. I don't like being tools. Oh my gosh, so cool. So So you've only got one item on your website right now, which is that.
Right.
So where can people go? What is your website? Where would people go
to? So the website is CameronFrancisMagic.com. And like I said, if you go there, you can find that trick. But if you go on Penguin Magic and just search Cameron Francis, I've got all of my old downloads on there.
All the moments notices as well.
All the moments notice series. Also on library.com, I think has all the moments notice. And I've also started doing something called Moments Notice Live, and I've done two so far, which is basically I've taken the first Moments Notice ebook, I re-examined all the tricks, did them on video. And so you can buy that video. It has all the tricks from the first one, but they've all been reworked to make them better. So again, like we were talking about before, and I did it with the second one too. I'm going to work up my way through all of them, but I've only done two so far. So Moments Notice Live 1 and 2 are also on Penguin Magic and their videos.
John Gustafaro talks about that, doesn't he? He talks about that 1 degree.
One degree. Yes. And I love that. Oh, John's one of my favorites too. God, I love John. He's amazing.
His Brainstorm DVDs.
So good.
When they came out, this was like, this is just like unheard of material. This is like, where has this come from?
Oh, so good. He's amazing. But yeah.
But what you're talking about is similar to him. It's that 1 degree. You make 1 degree change.
Yep.
And it makes, rather than just changing everything, you just look at it one degree at a time.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that's what I'm really into right now. So, so yeah, go on Penguin Magic, search my name and all this stuff will pop up and you can wade through a whole load of ebooks and videos and all kinds of things on
awesome.
There.
Awesome. And yeah. Keep an eye out on Big Blind Media for that amazing blank deck trick, which pulled the pants off me as well.
Absolutely.
That's great. Knowing Owen, it's probably going to be some sort of release around, well, I'm not going to, but unfortunately, Blackpool's not going to be on the...
I know. Yeah. Yeah. No Blackpool this year, which is a shame, but understandable, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing
Russ Stevens and the guys there, they'll really go big for 2022. So.
Oh, that'll be amazing. Maybe I'll even be there. Who knows? Maybe I'll show up.
Have you ever lectured at Blackpool?
I lectured at, when they did FISM in 2012, I lectured there.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best. I would rather do normal Blackpool because there weren't a lot of close-up people at FISM. It was a very diverse crowd, which is wonderful, but it wasn't great for the close-up guys who were lecturing. So I'm hoping if Russ is watching, Blackpool, love to do it.
Russ Stevens, come on. Make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cameron Francis, Blackpool 2022.
I'd love it.
Cameron, it has been a real pleasure having you on the inaugural first Talk Magic on the channel. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. And I hope this runs for years and years. And this is a historic episode, hopefully.
You know what? I'm sure it will. I'm putting a lot of time and effort into this right now. So, and I really appreciate you being on here. Thanks very much. So,
hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
You know what? Do you have one last piece of advice to wrap this whole thing up for everybody that's watching this? One last Francisism. Is that a thing? A Cameronism?
Cameronism.
Share with everyone.
Yes. Let's see here. What's my piece of advice? Practice your Elmsley counts. You can make them look more natural, people. It doesn't have to look like you're trying to peel a banana or something when you're doing it.
Okay, we've just found out what triggers Cameron, right? Good to know. Okay, I'm going to hold on showing you any Elmsley count tricks anytime soon. That's awesome. Brilliant.
Good stuff.
Cameron, thank you so much, guys. Check out Cameron on Penguin. Buy all of his stuff. He is absolutely amazing. He's one of my favorite magicians. Yeah. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We'll be back again tomorrow with another video. Actually, tomorrow it's Craig and Ryland's Magic Review. So I'm going to be back with Ryland tomorrow.
Well, I'll certainly be watching. So that'll be great.
Awesome stuff. Cameron, thanks very much. I'll see you again soon. You take care. Bye.